But as a young cook, I came up in an old school system, use everything, waste nothing.
I've actually never thought about what happens to my food when I throw it away.
In the United States, 40% of the food we produce is going to waste.
Food production is the single biggest cause of deforestation, water extraction, biodiversity loss.
More and more people are concerned about climate change, and one of the biggest contributors to greenhouse gases is the food that they're throwing away.
We are literally taking food out of the mouths of the hungry and sending food waste into landfill. That is crazy.
We don't need to produce more. We need to act different.
That's from the 2017 documentary film Wasted, The Story of Food Waste. This is KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. I don't like to waste food. I believe it to be immoral and unethical, so I try to put on my plate what I know I will eat, consume leftovers, and monitor my shopping so food doesn't rot before I eat it. But the documentary Wasted showed me that food waste is way out of my control. But there's hope. We can now turn our food waste into electricity, two things Americans love to consume in abundance. And it's happening right here on the Central Coast. I wanted to see how it all works, so today I'm powering with food. The journey started in Marina in Monterey County.
Hi, my name's Tim Flanagan. I'm the general manager for the Monterey Regional Waste Management District,
where the Organics to Energy program has been going for about 5 years. We hop in a truck to head to the Powering with Food plant.
The district is a special district. It's owned by the 9 member agencies on the Monterey Peninsula. We receive no special tax revenue. We are reliant really on our business operations. So it's whatever we sell as recyclable material or sell as renewable energy or whatever we charge as disposal fees or processing fees. We receive and process over 700,000 tons of material on an annual basis. Our goal is obviously to be compliant with the state mandate of 75% diversion. We're probably close to the low 40s, so we have a ways to go. But we're building infrastructure to get the remaining 25% diversion of our waste.
It was a bit windy when we got out of the car to tour the anaerobic digester. It's about the size of a house with 4 fuchsia bay doors and a white plastic bubble on top, which Tim will describe amid the backdrop of seagulls, Zach on the loader, and the backing up of a dump truck.
This Smart Firm project, that's the name of the technology, was the first in the state of California, and we partnered with the company Zero Waste Energy to make the first dry anaerobic digestion project a reality. And it's been a very successful joint venture. We delivered the revenues from the receipt of the materials to Zero Waste. We have a guarantee for them on the energy value, and it's their technology and their operator that maintains and runs this on our plant. It's been a very, very successful demonstration for us of what the future is for organics management and food waste management in Monterey County. We're now processing close to 6,000 tons a year of food waste collected from Santa Cruz County, Monterey County, and even into San Benito County that we process here and make the food waste degrade, make into a gas, which we then collect. We burn in an engine that then makes electricity, which we sell to our neighbor, the Monterey One Water, or the sewage treatment plant next door. So this is sort of closing the loop. The material, after it has had the gas extracted from it, then goes to compost, which is screened, composted, and delivered to the agricultural community, mostly targeting the folks that are in orchards or the vineyards, since this product can't go on direct food application products like lettuce or artichokes and the like, but it's a tremendously great compost with a lot of nutrient value in it. And the future for us is to make a much larger project which would handle close to 10 or 12 times that amount of material. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 or 60,000 tons a year is what we'll need to meet the state diversion requirements. The food waste is combined in about a 4-to-1 ratio with yard waste. It goes into a receiving chamber that holds approximately 80 tons worth of material at a time. The door of the chamber is closed and sealed, and then the material begins to break down in an oxygen-starved environment, hence the term anaerobic, without air. As it breaks down, it releases its methane gas, which is captured in a series of pipes, which is then drawn through the plant to be burned with the engine. So essentially, you have food waste and yard waste creating renewable energy to power the sewer plant. And this has been ongoing since 2013. Well, why do you have to mix yard waste with food waste? Well, the food waste by itself is very dense and doesn't allow for the microbiologic activity to take place. The yard waste gives it some air for the microbes to get in there and do their work. There's a little bit of art along with most of the science.
So what about the inflow? So you've got this concrete berm here that looks like any kind of landfill berm, and yep, it's about a quarter full right now.
Yeah.
And you can tell that it's food waste. There's a thing of broccoli right there, and his last load had some watermelon. I think that's a rotten avocado there in the middle of the... Lots of seagulls, and wherever there are seagulls, there's food. So what's the inflow?
The inflow comes in from garbage companies that serve the district facility from Santa Cruz and from Monterey County. There's well over 120 separate businesses and institutions is a supplier of food waste to this facility. There's a separate collection vehicle that goes out and collects the food waste, the scrapings off your plate, the trimmings from the grocery store, etc., loaded into the truck, which then is sent here.
There's a grapefruit right there.
Yeah. We took a turkey that was in its bag ready for Thanksgiving, and we put one turkey in the bag and one turkey out of the bag. And the turkey in the bag, warmed up, was sort of cooked, but relatively kept intact. The turkey that was out of the bag was stripped all the way down to the bone. It really was a real demonstration of the microbiological activity that took place, that there was only the bones left in there. The processing time is somewhere between 18 and 19 days. We've been able to improve the efficiencies in that by a couple of days. It's allowed us to allow for about another 20% material more to be introduced into the containers.
The unit itself is fascinating. It really is. But where does the food that feeds this machine come from? About 5 years before this organics to energy facility, Waste Management had begun its food waste composting program.
We partnered with the private members and the institutions in our community in Santa Cruz and embarked on a windrow composting program for their food waste prior to the development of this AD facility. So we already had a head start on that. The member companies and businesses that supported that had done a lot of the groundwork with their back of house staff to make sure they were only putting food in the food waste containers and not other contaminants that can't be composted. I think what's recognized on the Central Coast is folks that have a higher degree of environmental awareness. They wanted to do the right thing. They look to us as the receivers of the material to help do the right thing for them, and we were able to bring that on board for them. The state of California has passed a series of regulations that mandate the diversion of food waste and that mandate what was now called food recovery. So we're going to have to be working with our member agencies and literally design programs that will recover 20% of the food made available for public consumption and redirect that to beneficial use, not just anaerobic digestion, but find markets and local food banks, outlets, etc., so that food isn't wasted.
Naturally, I wanted to get a better idea of the source material, so I called up the local hotel, which is part of the program.
Richard Julian, I am the purchasing manager at the Intercontinental, the Clement Monterey. Obviously, when you're getting product brought in from different vendors, you have to look at, you know, what's coming in. The way our menu is set up, we always prefer the freshest product that can be, and that's usually as a whole non-processed product. Maybe lettuce, maybe your local fish, So all of this is one area that needs to be controlled, brought in as you need it, so there isn't a lot of waste. But at the same time, you want to prepare your food as fresh as you can. So there is going to be some waste as you do your cutting for your plate. You don't just serve a whole chicken to the customer and say, hope you enjoy it. You kind of prepare it and make it nicely presented as you would for your home and for your family. So you want to buy things not as pieces, but as cases. And sometimes you may get a case where you don't always see it right away. But then once you kind of get down into the nitty gritty of the case or the box, you may find one bad piece of lettuce. We're a big enough hotel where we're lucky enough to do banquets. And everybody knows in every hotel, banquets can either help you or cost you. You're doing a buffet for 200 people, and you have to kind of give your meals knowing that your customer is not always going to like seafood, or they may not like meat, or they may not like this salad, so you have soup. So you have a larger amount of food to offer to your customers than you would in a sit-down restaurant where you're picking one dish. And with the laws that they are, you can't resell the leftover meals. As much as you try to minimize the quantity, you also don't want to run out of food for the customer that hasn't gotten their meal. So buffets can be a little tricky.
Pretty cool. Makes me proud to live on the Central Coast, where we are trying to save the planet by thinking outside the box, using the science and technology available to us, and not letting bureaucracy get in the way. But is this efficient? Surely the facility requires some energy to run.
The facility produces about 100 kW of power, and it has a parasitic load, meaning it consumes about 20 kWs of power in the manufacturing process itself. So then it makes available about 80 kW of power for sale to our neighbor, the sewage treatment plant. So that's a great question, because there is some energy consumed in the whole process, but still more than 80% of the power is made available for sale.
The only energy you put in is the organic waste. The energy it needs is produced by itself.
Absolutely. In that way, it's self-sustaining. What happens in there is sort of like what happens in a cow's stomach. It sort of breaks down that material in the biologic process, produces methane. So as we know, cows produce methane. Biology happens by itself for the most part. You provide the right environment, that'll happen. Very aptly put, the most complicated part of this is the conversion of the methane to energy in the internal combustion engine, which then has to run, turn a generator, which produces the electricity. So there is far more complication in the energy production part than in the biological generation part.
Powering with food is fascinating beyond words. The facility in Monterey is a small one. It generates enough energy to sell to the wastewater treatment plant next door. We've got to do this on a larger scale, and San Luis Obispo County is very close.
Bill Worrell, manager of the San Luis Obispo County Integrated Waste Management Authority. We're actually going to have this facility that will take food waste, organic waste, and convert it to first methane gas, and then the methane gas is burned and energy is produced. It's under construction right now. Construction began a little over a year ago, and it will be done June, July of this year. This is a very large facility, about $25 million, and you can actually see it if you go out to the airport. It's right next to the airport runway on the south side, just off of Santa Fe Rose, and you can see, you know, fully constructed basically at this point. So the landfill used to have an old windrow composting operation where they would compost green waste outdoors, and that was shut down for a variety of reasons, odor being the biggest one. So we're replacing that facility with this fully enclosed anaerobic digestion facility. So there'll be no odors out of the facility. Everything happens inside the building. And then when you're done, you basically have a compost and a liquid fertilizer that will go out and can be used by the farms in our area.
Where's the fuel for this facility coming from?
By fuel, you mean the organics.
Yeah.
So every home south of Cuesta Grade has received food pails.
I have one of those.
And every home has a green waste bin. So all of that material in the food pails, which go in the green waste bin, will come to this facility. In addition, we're working to set up programs at every restaurant where all their food that's left over will also be collected. So this will service essentially everybody from San Simeon down to Napomo. About 100 tons a day. Everything collected by the various garbage companies in this region, all that green waste that's currently being collected will end up going to this facility.
That's really exciting. So how many facilities like this are there in the state and in the country?
This is the first type of facility that CompoGas has built in this country. They have about 70 facilities worldwide, and we will be their first U.S. facility. Now, there's a couple other facilities in California that do something similar. There's a fairly large one up in San Jose, a couple small ones like in Marina. But other than that, this is like one of the top 10 in the United States.
When did the idea come into your mind?
2007. So it's only taken 11 years
wow.
to get this facility in place. We're almost done.
And whose idea was it?
It was a couple of things. Composting operation at Cold Canyon was closed because of odors. Well, it was outdoors. It was very old technology. It used a lot of water. So it had a real series of problems. So we needed to do something better. So I started looking at the various technologies out there, visited plants really around the world, and decided that this anaerobic digestion technology was the way to go.
That's really cool. And so where's the electricity going to go?
Electricity will just go back into the grid. PG&E will be taking all the electricity generated by the facility.
And how much electricity is going to be generated?
It's about 850 kilowatt hours being generated. I think it's 3,000 to 4,000 homes use about that much power. It's not Diablo Canyon, but it's more than your solar panels on your roof.
3,000 to 4,000 homes, and then you got the fertilizer that comes out of there as well.
Right. Right, and that's already been resold. There's a company in the county that wants all that the plant can generate, and then they will market that to the farms. And the unique thing about this plant is the company that owns it designed, built, will operate, and finance the whole facility. So essentially, it didn't cost our residents a penny to do any of this. Now, we'll pay an operating fee to them to process the material, but that's essentially all our commitment. And we're actually planning on having an education center at the facility. And like we do with the landfill and the recycling plant, we hope to be giving tours beginning next year. We know it's going to be really popular within our industry because it's so unique. But for the general public, too, I think there'll be a lot of interest.
Why do you think the Central Coast is ahead of the rest of the country and most of the world?
Yeah, I think there's a very high environmental ethic here in the Central Coast. And we're willing to go forward with projects like that because of the environmental benefit.
Does turning organic waste into energy mean that we no longer have to worry about how much food we waste? Absolutely not. When we waste food, at the farm, at the supermarket, or at the dinner plate, we take food out of the mouths of people who need it. It's not about putting your leftovers in a package and sending it to Africa. It's about food being taken out of their country so we can waste it, left to rot in our fields instead of going to food banks or keeping produce prices affordable. Scraped into the garbage can and thus increasing demand simply so food can be wasted. The economy of food waste is astonishing.
So you get up in the morning, you make yourself your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's too big. You find out you can't eat the whole thing. Do you trot down here and put your remainder of your lunch in this facility?
First of all, I wish I was that disciplined to make my lunch every morning. But you brought up a point about making it too big. So one of our education pieces of this is really to give direction to right-sizing your selection as a consumer to make sure that you're not promoting food waste by oversubscribing or over-ordering or over-producing. So part of our educational outreach is to have folks, quote-unquote, right-size their food delivery program or their food intake programs. I would make the right size peanut butter sandwich so that I don't have waste to put into the anaerobic digest.
Powering with food, organics to energy, is a fantastic way to deal with the waste we have. Maybe someday we'll waste less food and consume less electricity such that the organic wastes generate the right amount of electricity and no one in the world goes to bed hungry. We consume food to power our bodies, and now it's also powering some homes, protecting our planet from our plates.
You gonna help me cook when we get home?
I'll try and help.
Tackling food waste doesn't need to be depressing. It's delicious.
It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You can reduce the amount of food waste.
That's exciting.
This is something important. We can do it.
can enjoy the smug self-satisfaction of doing the right thing. How often do you get to do that?
I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.